Nothing like setting the mood with a little banjo music. So, welcome everyone back to the PRQ Homesteading Expanded December 20th, 2025. Almost to the end of this linear year. And the show's title today is Homesteading from the Heart. And we're going to have an open forum and we're going to have lots of callers calling in and sharing their heartfelt vibes. But before we get started, just a real quick recap. On last week's show with Brent Emery Johnson was on this platform sharing his knowledge from his longtime running show, The Voice of Freedom, also host of the Global Freedom Report and several books, one being The Quiet Voice of God. Make sure I threw that quiet word in there. So please feel free to listen to the archive show from December 13, which is located at the bottom of our show page. And we are going to be having him back sometime after the new year. So I'd like to start out with a little disclaimer. The insights that we share here on this show are derived from personal experiences and reflections of individuals who have embarked on the homestead journey. These are not professional recommendations or guaranteed paths to success. Homesteading involves physical, sometimes emotional, and financial demands that vary greatly by person, location, and circumstances. So always prioritize your well-being, consult local experts, do your research, and this I truly mean, do your research with every step before, after, and during, and approach any lifestyle change with careful planning and self-compassion. In this evolving world, as we are all experiencing, that has been changing rapidly, especially in technology, society, and the environment, and in our communities. Homesteading can be a deeply personal way to reconnect with what matters, but it is essential to listen to your heart and adapt as needed on your journey. So, one last agenda that I want to share with the audience. This is an on-air tribute to Teresa Sanders, a beautiful spirit that was very helpful to a few of us on our homesteading journeys. I met her right after I did the homestead steps. Teresa had an extensive background in the mortgage industry and was a law professional. She was in the process of defending her homestead after completing the steps. She was up against the New York judicial system and attended court many times. She passed away on November 19th. My last conversation with her was November 16th. She became very ill, and truly, I believed at the time that she was just experiencing ascension symptoms, which we all have in different many ways. But during my last conversation with her, she was experiencing emotional distress upon her last visit to the courts in regard to defending her homestead. Now, I'm not saying that that is affiliated with her death, but I know that it weighed heavily on her. So, my personal experience with her, she assisted me with my motion to dismiss, which some say was premature, but you don't know unless you're actually doing the process. And, I tried to call her to find out what was the reason why we did it so early. And then it did come back to me. And that's when I found out she had passed away. And we did it to stop the foreclosure because we homesteaded our property. And at that time, I thought I was done. Allodial title was it. And that's the end of it. And so we were going to motion to dismiss. That was our goal. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. And I learned a few things in the process. But this is just a tribute to her in memory of her in her great spirit and sending much love to her. I know she's still with us spiritually. She's out there in the beyond, or maybe somewhere here on earth in another being. So, my love to you, my dear sister, great warrior, beautiful that you are. And I know you can hear me. I love you. Okay, Shane, are you ready to talk about the caller lines?
I am ready to talk, and that was beautiful, Robin.
Thank
Tribute to Teresa.
you. Yeah.
I'm ready. Everyone, we want everyone to call in today and share your experiences from your heart and how it changed you in a positive way. Please call in to our lines 1-888-627-6008. And if you're out of country, call 323-744-4831. Please feel free to subscribe to our show. Subscriptions start at $2.99. Anything could help. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your harmonics. We want everyone to participate and share their experiences on this journey. And thank you, Robin, again. And thank you, BBS Radio.
Yes, love you. And we also do have a donation button, and we're using that to help those in need. There is a family that I've been reaching out to in the state of Ohio, a lovely lady with two children that she's dealing with the utility company raising her bills. And so she's had the heat off, but still seems to be getting these high bills. Go figure, right? So, if anybody is interested in assisting, I am going to be sending $100 to the sweet lady and the children for Christmas. Feel free to match my donation by donating. And I just want to share this synchronicity, and I shared this with you earlier in the week, Shane. Those of us that put the money out into the universe, and I actually did this in the month of November. I sent money out to two beautiful people in my life that needed some assistance, and I didn't even think twice about getting it back. The one I knew I wasn't because it was my son. So I don't worry about that. And I really, it was a lot of money, but you know what? I look at money differently now because I truly know it's not real. And so the interesting thing that happened is that my bonus check from my November sales at my job was a very significant amount, and it was the exact same amount that I put out into the universe. So I'm just here to say, when you put it out there, it's going to come back to you. It may not come back in the same way you put it out there, but it's coming back to you, folks. And that was just amazing. In my 10 years of working at this place, I've never received a bonus check that high before. So I was very like, wow, right?
Amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing.
So it was pretty cool. Anyway, All right, so let's get started. Oh, I don't even have the chat on. Let me get this here in case anybody starts calling in. I want to start out because I was listening to my Spotify doing my workouts this week, and of course, one of the Q audios came on. And it just happened to be the one where I called into Q and I sang the song, "I'm so excited and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control and I think I like it." So I got really excited. I shared that song with Q and he started laughing. And I got to tell him I completed my final step. We did it. Done. Michigan is on the map. And it was pretty cool to hear that. But the main reason why I was listening to it is because I wanted to find there was a part in that that I listened to a while back and I thought it was that one. I wasn't sure. So I listened to that and then it goes further. He starts talking to, he says, "Robin, so how do you think that you can show others to do the homestead?" And I said, "Well, you lead by example, by actually doing it." And at that time, I thought that just doing the steps was how to do it. And there was more to it, definitely more to it. So just going back and forth with him and talking about it, I learned a few things from that moment. And then the other part of the audio, it was Christine calling from New York, and she was talking to Q about moving to a warmer place and that she lived in Buffalo and it was just so cold and the winters were really hard. And I remember Q saying that that the Buffalo winters are rough, but they can also be magical at the same time. And then he referred to the snow as life coming in the form of water. Merkaba is life. So here in Midwestern, I'm here in Michigan, we've had some major winter storms these past couple of weeks. And so every time I see the snowfall, I think of what he said. And I look at the snow differently. I mean, there was one time when I thought, oh, chemicals coming down on us. But I don't look at it that way anymore because I don't believe that I'm in that dimension. I feel that I'm in a higher dimension when I'm in my homestead where I'm very happy and heart-centered, and it's just magical. It is very much so. And then the next caller, his question was mastery and homesteading, Troy from California. So he starts off with mastery of yourself. Planet is a pay-per-view. And then Q laughs a little bit. And back then, I didn't understand what he meant by that, but now I get it. It is. It is a pay-per-view, and you have to laugh at it. Because every action that you take, you're getting sponsored by somebody. Those were Troy's words. He talks about his trip to India and how it took time, money, his effort, his determination, and focus. He has to do so he can receive. And that hit home with me when I was listening to it. He goes on to say, mastery steps. He is trying to land permanently. Thinking in time is a mastery. Emotion and thinking is a mastery. We are the sponsors as the business development directors taking steps to risk. You have to risk. You don't get anything without risking yourself. For instance, and then he goes on to talk about the grant deed is a higher form of title than the deed of trust. But the fact is, how do you operate your grant deed in order to kick the deed of trust out? Now, I looked that up and we can share that later if we have time. But what he said about taking the risk, you know, this past week, and I'm going to share this from my experience. I went through some, you know, dips. I'm going to call them dips. And I pulled myself up and I got over the humps and everything was smooth, and I'm sitting here going, okay, now I got a chance to breathe. Everything's good. You know, we got time to get ready for the next step. And then something in me, you know, just inspired me to go to the mailbox. I don't know why. And I think it was because I wanted to stay on top of the correspondence in regard to my actual situation that is happening. So I go to the mailbox, and for some reason, I had this feeling, and there were two letters in there. One was from the subservicer of the loan, in regard to my mortgage. And then the other one was from the attorneys that were representing the actual owner of the property. And they were actually objecting to my process that I had put in place. And I'm like, are you kidding me? They're literally going to come at me again. And so, okay, we're ready. We're getting ready. We'll handle this. Everything's going to be good. So I go through the paperwork and I'm looking at it, and it's like foreign language to me. I have no idea how to respond to it, how to answer it. And so I reached out to a friend of mine and she said, take baby steps. So I started doing research on how to respond to the lawyer's letter, and it was pretty easy. It was ex it extensive, and I'm not sure that I answered it right, but I put it together. I dove into it, even not knowing what I was doing. I put it together, but that's how I learn, by actually doing it. So I put it together, and then I went back to the letter from the sub-servicer, and I started going through that, and I'm like, okay, I have no idea how to answer these questions. I can't answer these questions honestly, in what's going on in regard to my situation. And then I realized that this was a contract. They were trying to get me to recontract with them to create another security, or excuse me, what's the word? Instrument. To recreate another instrument. So my signature is what creates the value. I'm learning that. It's very interesting. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. And so let me get through the rest of this audio. So Q goes on to say, we deserve a place to live on planet Earth. We have an opportunity to educate the believers, not the knowledgers, the believers, that we have succession rights as a spirit in God we trust. So then, how do we transition a legacy quit claim deed to the grantor process? And my position is we will sell the property to ourselves. That's what Q had said. Heart-centered due diligence that we would prefer taking possession and being a successor of the land patent. All right. So I have done all that through the heart. This place that I live, I did the homestead because I wanted to learn it so that I could teach others, because that's what we're here to do as the catalysts and the teachers that we are, and the healers. And I went through the process, I learned it, but there's way more to it. That was the easy part. So then Troy goes on to say, this is the end of it. He goes on to say, ask how to use, he goes on to say, how can I use the Marshal's office? Okay. I'm sorry, you guys, I'm trying to read my notes here. And that he is looking at a bankruptcy court as a method of getting into the federal courts. Q's response, allow me some time to work on that. So when I heard that part, that's exactly where I'm at. That's exactly what I'm doing. So Troy, my man, if you're listening, I would love to collaborate with you, and share your experience and where you're at on it. And if you can give some guidance, I would be more than honored to hear from you. Okay. So I wanted to share that. And in regard to my personal experience this week, I started going through the doubt, the fear, and panic. I guess you might say panic. And I've done this before. And I go home, I get a good night's rest. I wake up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I start feeling into my heart. I start breathing. I start connecting with my spirit. And then I bring myself back to center, and I realize that I got caught up in the mind energy. And that we always have to remember that our creation from our heart center is what we do best. And that's what I do. And my personal experience and feelings with my homestead is that I love my quiet place here. I love that I can come here when I get home after my day out in the matrix and doing my job, which I'm really enjoying a lot lately because of the different vibration that I'm sharing with others from the heart. And when I get here and I'm in my peaceful place, it's just like I'm in a whole different dimension. And so, am I attached to this place? You know, I don't want to be attached to anything because we are here to experience whatever comes our way. And we don't ever own anything. Q has told us that many, many times. And my goal here is not to own this property. It is to be able to be here free and enjoy the nature, the peace, the quiet. And I'm on a journey to do that, to save this and to keep it because I love being here. This is my place. This is my quiet place, my happy place. And so I'm going to go in, learn their system, understand how they progress through it, and just be, you know, at a level point to where you're not fighting against them. You don't want to fight against them because that just is going to make it harder for you. So the key is to go in, and when they're saying something to you, you go, oh, you know what? I didn't know that. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. But here's my opinion on it, and this is how I feel. And, you know, and just kind of build a rapport in that way. And so I'm learning a little bit about the semantics that lawyers and judges do when they do go into the court. They want to box you in. They want you to not talk. They don't want you to speak. But you just got to know how to navigate through it. And we have the power to do that. Okay. We're always going, oh gosh, how am I going to do this in front of they're educated. Yes, they're educated. That was their lifelong journey. Okay. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn it. We can learn it. It's just researching and learning the UCC codes and the definitions and how the whole system functions. And when you find out in the long term that the value of all monetized system is our signature. It's not the paper money. It's not the green money. It's not the bank loans. It's our signature. That's the key. That's how they control us through everything. And we think that it's all about the money and it's not. And so I totally understand 100% what Q was trying to tell us about the money and not be attached to it. You guys, it's not real. It's our signature that creates the value. Without our signature, they don't have any value. And that's how they control us because we think that we got to have this money. We got to get a loan. We got to have credit cards. We got to do all this in order to do things. And it's not, that's not the case. And I'm learning it as I go. And so that's my experience in regard to my homestead and what I'm learning. And that no matter how far we dip down into the doubt and the fear, we're that's who we are. A friend of mine that I was talking to this week, she goes, that's what we do. We fall down, but we pick ourselves back up. And that is so very true. And that's exactly what we do. And so I just wanted to share that with the audience. Shane, do you have any experience that you've had in the past week that you would like to share?
I've had some very interesting experiences. I've connected with several people that are on this journey. Just some synchronicities, things that are happening, some awareness that is coming through of how to navigate through this reality and how it gets you and how it triggers your mind and mind energy and how. Just how easy it is that anything that triggers our mind instantly, it could be as little as opening your car door and your door in your car starts dinging, ding, 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 ding. Well, your mind kicks in, and all of a sudden your mind thinks, well, the car door's open. Well, that's actually a form of a program. Same thing with the seatbelt. Everything has been created in this way to keep us distracted and our mind from being. And our mind to be triggered, to create a thought process. And Q always said, stop thinking. It's the key to it. Stay in your heart space. Stop thinking. I think we have to stop at some point. I think you're right. I'm glad that you recognize, I'm glad you said that to the audience. You recognize the fact that you get caught up in your mind energy and get caught back up in the system, and you got to recalibrate and bring yourself back to center. And it's very important because those things can't distract you from the wow moments. You know what moments you and I have wow moments together. So when you're caught up in that system and you're caught up fighting and you're caught up doing this and you're caught up doing that, we sometimes can miss those wow moments. But as far as experiences this week, the synchronicities are off the charts. More knowledge. I'm remembering more. It's not that I'm learning more. I'm remembering more of who I am. And it's really beautiful. It's peaceful. And I hope people can call in. Oh, we got with Kenna from Oklahoma online too.
Yeah, that, you know what, Shane, that was beautiful that you said that. I like that, that you're remembering more of yourself. And you know that when you get into the situation that I'm experiencing right now, and you have to go in and you have to actually participate with the players, but you have to look at it like they do. It's a game. And so it's like a chess game. You got to wait, see what their move's going to be, and then you just learn what their move is, and then you react accordingly. And so I love what you just said, and 100% agree with you. Okay,
Well, go ahead. Bring it on.
Kenna from Oklahoma, line two. Come on, young lady. I always love hearing from Kenna.
Hi. Yeah, I thought it was really cool that you brought up the audio with Q about the snowflakes, because that's what I've actually been working on a lot, is understanding more of light dynamics, like our light body, you know, and how to keep yourself safe when you're interacting with everybody else, like you guys have been talking about. And I thought homesteading's actually a perfect example of that, because you are working in the system that you didn't agree to, so you're a little snowflake and you're in this weird looking snowball and you're trying to figure out, okay, so I didn't agree to that. And what I've really come to the conclusion of is all I can do is be aware of my own energy within my field, my little snowflake. And so when I go out in public or I deal with people in regards to, you know, the snowball, I just feel like they're either going to resonate with you or they're not, and that's okay. And, you know, just accepting the snowball for what it is. And then, you know, like with homesteading, you learn the rules. And then you still use your heart to decide, okay, am I going to follow through with that, or what am I actually feeling? And then when you're honest about that, or you resonate out into the field and say, you know, I should be able to live on Earth. We're all living on Earth right now. That really starts to resonate with other snowflakes within the snowball, you know, and then it just grows. The light grows in that way. And I think being afraid of, you know, there's dirt in the snowball too, to keep with the metaphors. There's a lot of dirt in there, and it's, you know, it's yucky, but when it comes into contact with my snowflake, I know it's there. I'm not afraid of it. And I'm just going to accept it for what it is, but I'm not going to let it in my field, you know. And if I do let it in my field, when it comes back out, it's going to be through my heart and it's going to be light. Because I'm not going to give dirt back to other people. And I think that's how the whole process is growing. So like Oklahoma, they're trying to get rid of property tax. I think that's a good physical example of how this actually works. When you can follow your heart and resonate through the system, other people will pick up on that, and then it just grows.
That is absolutely spot on, 100%. You are right about that, and it doesn't help to battle. You just want to work with them in the best way that you can, but also still stand your ground from your heart, and that's just beautiful, Kenna.
Yeah, I think it's
Oh,
what
I've
Q.
been working on that a lot.
Go ahead, Kenna.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say That's what Q kind of spoke about. He said, he put his property into foreclosure 7 times to prove that you can get it out every time if you're operating through your heart space only. And I think a lot of people miss that, because what he's trying to prove to people is if you do anything from your heart, anything, whatever it may be, the outcomes are going to be there. It's always going to work in your favor. And sometimes, if it doesn't work in your favor, just trust the process, and there will be something that pops out within it when it's not operating properly. Like, for example, what Robin's going through right now. If you can learn to look, a lot, I know she is doing this. Look, she's looking at, she's seeing it as an experience from her heart. She's seeing it as an experience from her heart, and she's saying, okay, I know that this is just an experience. Now I'm ready for the good outcome to come through. And when it comes through, it's going to be so magical, and she's going to be helped so many people. But right now, it's just the experience that you're going through, and it's to help us understand and remember who we are.
That
And I think
is,
it's beautiful.
that's very true. It's like every action, every decision, every step that you take sends the energy out, okay? And the more positive energy that you send out, sometimes we are putting out more good energy, and then there are days when you feel like nothing is coming back, okay? So it's kind of like a wave, all right? So the wave goes out, and then when you don't feel anything coming back in, it takes a little time, but that wave is going to return, and it's going to come back to center, and it's going to come back to that smooth sailing again. But you just got to be patient. The more good energy you put out, the good stuff is going to come back.
Right. There's some of my experiences that I went through, and it wasn't really with homesteading, it was with the legal system, though. I knew it was an experience as I was going through it because I had been through so many experiences before that. At some point, after you go through one experience and another experience, all these experiences are to get you stronger and more emotionally stable to where you don't react. And when you're a light being and you're on this journey and you're recognizing how it works, and you're understanding, okay, this is just an experience. Even though we don't like the situation that we're going through because we have these human emotions attached to us, what I started doing when I would get into my mind of fear, because it'll always pop up of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got to go handle this, this, and this, and this. In my mind, I would all of a sudden, I would use that as an opportunity to go into my heart space and say, I love life. I love life. I love this experience. I love this experience. I love life. And over time, things started dissolving a lot faster in those experiences. But if I wouldn't have gone through those experiences, I would have never been able to use that opportunity as a way to recognize and understand how it works here in this reality as us light being, as we are light beings. We are here experiencing. And through those experiences, I've had a few people say, I can't handle going through these experiences anymore. I just can't handle going through these experiences anymore. And I say to them, I know where you're at. I said, what if I told you? People will say, I just want to go home. I just want to go back to my home planet. I don't want to do this anymore. And I say to people, I say, okay, let's look at it differently. What if I told you that if you go through these experiences, you can go back to your home planet? I said, then would you be willing to go through them? And they're like, yes, I would do it in a heartbeat. I would just let it go through. I would just let it. I say, okay, now what if I said, now keep that thought. What if I told you now that after you go through these experiences and you see how it works here, how this planet operates, that you wouldn't want to go home because you can then go out and navigate through reality. In the world be your playground.
That's
And
absolutely, that is right.
they at that point, they say that my mind kicks back in again, the fear kicks back in again. And but when they were ready to go home, they would do anything to do it. But now, it's just so I try to keep that in people's minds, and I try to help people understand that I work with that. when you're going through these experiences, and I know it is a process to shed that emotional reaction and trigger. I went through it, but I use it as an opportunity. I love life. I understand source. I understand this experience is to help me remember who I am and how this planet works here. And things just start dissolving immediately. And I let it go and I don't worry about it anymore. Now things happen to me and they just run right by me. They'll come to me and then I just let them go. I come to me and I let them go and I just see it as an experience. And they always dissolve. I just forget about it.
Yeah.
So
You know,
I'm
for
sorry,
me.
Kenna. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Kenna, a minute ago.
Oh, no. Is it okay if I? Well, I always feel like going through those experiences actually teach me the capacity to love even more. And I think that's what's beautiful about this place.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is.
Absolutely.
So,
Perfectly
for
said.
me, when the shift happens, you feel closer, you're closer to getting more aligned. So the louder the doubt comp becomes, you don't look at it as failure. You have to look at it as friction, like it's friction. And it usually comes before flight. So those of us on this journey, that are doing the homesteading, know that it's going to be easy. Evolving can be bold and raw. It's gravity defying at times. It's logic breaking. And the ego, yeah, I hate to say it, the ego still pops up every now and then, can shatter every moment. And so that's when you have to go into the awareness and know the things that are happening and bring yourself back to center. So you revert back to stillness and trust the process. That's the important thing. Trust the process and get out of the doubt.
Kenna, do you have any experiences in which that you change your reality instantly through the experiences you have with just love immediately that you could share with the audience? Hope I didn't put you on the spot.
Well, I'm a little slow on the uptake, so but yeah, I usually, if I try to, well, usually I'm a very closed person. I try to observe more because I don't want to get entangled in emotions.
Yeah.
But with my dad, sometimes our dynamic is a little different, and he's very into the systems of money. And so, a lot of the time he'll value that over spending time with his grandchildren. And so what I do, instead of internalizing that now, I just see that that's an opportunity for him to grow in his capacity to love. And I don't need his validation because I can give myself the love that I need. So I try not to let that emotional baggage come into my field. And if it does, I reaffirm that it's not the end of the world. I'm not going to be afraid for my children. I'm not going to feel alone because I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to get myself through this and that my children will still know love from me. So that's like an example that I have that I use quite frequently.
That's
Yeah,
beautiful. That's beautiful.
Thank you
Oh,
so
there's
much.
another word for it. For it's like alchemizing. So you're taking one type of energy in your field, and you get to choose how you resonate with it, or how it
Right.
resonates through you, and how it leaves through you. So I think you were pointing out really good too before, Shane, that. That's it's just a natural process that we do,
You're right. You're right. So
I can
Ken.
resonate with that story that you just explained to the T in my life too. And I did seek validation for a very long time from my stepfather, which is he's very wealthy and he is very well in the system. And told me several times, I am a businessman, I'm not a family man. But he still has some heart in him and he shows it in ways that only that he can do it. I understand. So I understand you there.
Well, hey, He has
Go
to have
ahead.
heart. He has to have heart because you are him, and we see the heart in you all the time.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
Back to that emotion. I, through my experiences, at some point when you're on this journey, you start to shed those emotional triggers and reactions to things, and you almost feel like you're non-human. You do love. We do always love, no matter what. I always love, no matter what. But the love part's easy. It's dealing with the people in your life that don't have that trigger, that try to they're there to trigger you, or you don't understand. Because a lot of times when we're loving, we don't understand why people are the way they are. We just expect them to be the same way we are, and when it doesn't happen, we kind of get disappointed. But my point is, when I went through this process of shedding the emotional human emotions in this body, I almost become non-human. It took for me to spend more time with my kids, to ground myself, to feel that love again. And then it was like I shedded every human emotion, and then the only ones I started putting back were the ones of love. Does that make sense? It's almost like I had a clean slate. It's almost like I was reborn. And then I just started putting the emotions back of just purely of love after I went through a lot of experiences. So now that's the reality that I live in. And I do purposely navigate in this reality, trying to create that energetic throughout anyone and everyone that I meet, and it can be fun.
Yes, we know that firsthand. Beautiful. Kenna, thank you so much for joining us. We do have another caller on the line, and we hope to hear back from you again.
Great talking to you guys.
You're beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Okay,
Jenna.
we have Aloha on line three. Hello, Aloha. Hola, hola.
Aloha, Robin. Aloha, Shane.
Hello, hello.
I'm enjoying the show so much.
Oh.
And thank you. I've been enjoying it. I called, I believe, maybe you, in the beginning of the show asked a question about what does homesteading mean to us?
Yes, from your heart.
Okay. Well, okay. So I first remember learning about homesteading from listening to our friend Q. It's one of the shows. A nice lady called in, and she was trying to figure out how can she go to work every day and meet all the demands of life and be able to, move out of her apartment and to even get a house, to qualify for a house, to be able to, go through that home buying process. It just didn't seem possible to her. And so, Q started talking about homesteading and land patents as a way of going about doing it. And he started to explain what homesteading is and what land patents are. And I'm like, what is this? This is something I have
Right,
always
right.
wanted to. What did you say?
No, I said right.
I'm like, what is this? I've never heard of this. This is huge. I want to know all about this. I would love to learn all about homesteading. I'd heard of homesteading, but not the way he explained it. But I'd never heard about land patents. And I'm like, oh. So I'm listening, and I'm, after he said a lot. He said where, we could learn more about it through the National Association of Rural Landowners website, and I went right to it. And I started reading it, and I started contacting the people who were experts at land patents. And I'm like, I want to do this, and all I have to do is learn how to do it. And when he had his show to explain the process to us, I was so grateful. I'm like, I'm gonna learn how to do this. Everyone is learning how to do this. He's teaching this to everyone. We can all go and do this. So where do we start? And so of course, some people might start with the home that they were in, but what he explained was we could find a place that we would want to live and be peaceful and happy and be free on some land somewhere that had that feeling that made that gate that we could feel free being there to find that place. And then some people would maybe do this with the home that they're in. And I'm like, and we could do, and for the homesteading, it's 160 acres. And I said to myself, well, I don't really need 160 acres. Maybe I can have a few acres here, a few acres there, maybe a few more, 10 acres somewhere else. And I'm like, okay, let me learn how to do this. Let me start. And one of the starting places to me seemed to be, how do we go about getting a land patent for a certain area? Which for some states, it was the Bureau of Land Management, and for the 13 colonies, and perhaps Texas, it was not through the Bureau of Land Management. So I decided to start by getting a land patent. And so there were ways we could go on the website and do it. And but I decided I would drive. And in California, there is an office in probably Sacramento. And I said, okay, I love to drive. I'll get in my car and I'll just go drive up there because
Was it,
it seemed easier.
Aloha, was it vacant land that you got the patent for?
The patent that I was that I decided to get was not vacant land.
Okay.
It was to a actually to a condo, and I was told that you can't really patent a condo because there's no land, but you can patent the entire building.
Okay.
And so I went to go. I picked in an address that I was familiar with, and I went to Sacramento to the Bureau of Land Management. Went to the office, and they were ever so nice. I was scared to go in. I'm like, okay, I've driven up here. Maybe I could just sit in my car and that'll do the trick. But I got enough nerve to actually go in, and everyone was so nice. They were so nice. I went in and they assigned a person to help me. I didn't know any of the parameters that they ask you for on the website. And the nice person that helped me. I gave them the address and they figured it all out. Everything that I needed, they got the patent. All they wanted to know was how many copies did I want. And I probably got maybe six copies. They put the brass ring on the patents. They stamped it. They did everything they were supposed to. They did everything they were supposed to. It's just it's friendly and kind and nice. I bought maps of the area. They gave me posters. They said, oh, we have posters over in those drawers. Go in and help yourself. Take whatever you want. I mean, they were completely helpful and nice. I came away with six copies of a patent, complete exactly with what it should be. And I got a history lesson about California. And I sat with the person that helped me for felt like about 2 hours, and they talked to me about everything. And I'm like, this is great. I'm gonna come up here every week and get a patent.
Yeah, it
People would
sounds like.
call in and talk about, their experiences, and I'm like, this was great. Everyone was kind. They knew exactly what they were supposed to do, and when they answered the phone to people who called in, they told them that's what they were there for, was for whatever they needed, and completely helpful. So then, on the so now that was Bureau of Land Management, California. So now also I'm also on the East Coast, and we don't and so that my first try to get a patent on the East Coast was to go
to the Bureau of Land Management in Virginia. And in Virginia, somebody actually did come out just to say they don't know what we're talking about. And the person that came out probably didn't know what all of this was about. And so, but they did direct me to the Pennsylvania State Archives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. So I went there, and there's a beautiful brand new building. They have people to help you who are very helpful, but I didn't find the patent for the address that I was looking for. And our friend Q told me, he said, it's not going to be easy with the, states, the 13 colony states. It's not easy. You're gonna have to dig back, So the Bureau of Land Management is working from the 1800s, but with the 13 colonies, you're going into the 1600s. And so what I did was I went to the Pennsylvania State Archives in Harrisburg. They were very nice. I saw lots of patents, but I didn't find the one I wanted because I wanted the one, the oldest one that I could find. And I didn't find that. And I might not have even found one for the address that I was looking for. And so I was out hiking one day with someone, and they told me that they go to the Neighborhood Historical Society. I said, the Neighborhood Historical Society. So I went, made a trip to the Neighborhood Historical Society, and they assigned me a volunteer who was 90 years old, who had been volunteering for 30 years. This was just great. I told this man what I wanted, the section of in Pennsylvania that I was interested in, and he pulled out three books. And he opened the pages, and he said, "Oh, here it is. What you want is at the Pennsylvania Historical Society in Philadelphia." It said it right in the book where it was
Wow.
located.
Wow.
I made a trip. Oh, and I did join these historical societies. I joined them because they charge you to come in each time. So I just joined so you could come in as a member at, for with it's part of a membership benefit. So I joined the Neighborhood Historical Society. I joined the Pennsylvania Historical Society located in our city. And I went in and I told, there were many people working there, and I told everyone what I wanted. Everyone has a different answer for me, which was great. And somebody pulled out a book. And so I found that what I learned was how in Pennsylvania William Penn ended up with the land in Pennsylvania, which was through the king in England. His father loaned the king money, and to pay him back, the king said, "Here, take this land in Pennsylvania." And that, that's how he went about paying back the Penn family. And so then there were from William, so the king gave the, and there's a charter for that at the Pennsylvania Historical Society, that where the main charter is from the king to William Penn.
Wow, that's really
And I
interesting.
found out.
That's interesting, the hysterical, that historical. It's like the chain of title where, you find the history and how everything evolved.
For the 13 colonies, yes, because you want the first one. So the king gave a charter to William Penn. William Penn gave the land to a man named Pastorius
Oh, yeah.
to give it for him to give it out.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Aloha.
So that's how I went about learning what I found out. And I made a lot of trips to a lot of historical societies. So if you are in one of the 13 colonies, and I'm not sure how Texas goes, but the 13 colonies in Texas are different, and you haven't found your land patent, go to the historic, you can
Go
go
to the
to the
historic.
historical society
We're
and
actually,
get that for you.
hey, Aloha, I hate to cut you off, but we got a few minutes, but we're actually going to go over the steps again after the first of the year for the new listeners and so forth. And totally appreciate you sharing your journey. And I hope you come back and share some more. But we're going to have to close the show down. So thank you so much for calling in, beautiful lady.
Thank you, Aloha.
Wonderful afternoon, and thank you for having me on today.
Anytime, anytime. You're always welcome. All right, so Shane, BBS Radio, all you guys, I'm wishing you a beautiful, peaceful holiday. And as we settle in to this peaceful holiday week and feel into the new year that's coming upon us, may all of you and your experiences, ideas, and shared wisdoms from today's forum plant seeds of inspiration and blossom into thriving homesteads. So, resilient communities and lasting connections. Let the quiet moments of reflection fuel our collective creativity. And may the spirit of togetherness, and I truly mean that we celebrate here, guide every step of our journey forward. Here is to the anticipated inclusive year ahead, once where each of us will nurture self, nurture ourselves, our neighbors, and the dreams that bind us. So we want to say once again, this is PRQ Homesteading Expanded. We're signing out, and to all of you, to have a beautiful, beautiful rest of your Saturday. And we may or may not do a show next weekend. I'm kind of feeling to take a little break, but we'll see. We'll see if I get inspired and Shane feels the same way. So we love you all. Thank you so much, BBS Radio, and happy, happy holidays to everyone.
Thank you, everyone.